Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with LaVon, live with our guest, Nathan, who is one of the organizers for the San Diego Heirloom Seed Swap, which is an upcoming event here locally. It's the first gathering, and I want to hear all about it. So thank you for being here, Nathan.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell us what you guys are doing and like, how it started. And
yeah, started sure. There. So I had a good friend of mine who was going to the seed swap up in Santa Rosa, which is one of the biggest ones in the state.
You're talking about the Heirloom Food Festival?
Yeah, I think it's the Heirloom Food Festival. Yeah,
we went there. We covered that a lot, actually.
Yeah, so before he headed up, when he was prepping, he mentioned to me, like, hey, we should do this in San Diego. You know, we need to get the garden movement rolling and keep mm-hmm. that energy flowing. So we set a date as, spring equinox. You know, it's the perfect day for getting our seeds in the ground and getting our intention shifted out of winter, get back outside and, start connecting with the earth and the soil. So, when he got back, he was super excited and wanted to, you know, we pursued the project. So, here we are just a few months later. And, we've connected with a lot of the different community organizations throughout San Diego that are, you know, agriculturally driven. And, we got a lot of support from that community. So, we've, in just a short period of time, come a long ways, in getting this rolling. So,
yeah, I wanted to mention that. I'm so glad to see that energy back in my hometown where we kind of started it a few years ago with teaching locals about where their food came from.
Yeah.
And that was kind of demonstrated throughout the world. You know, we've seen people awaken to this notion of eating healthy might equal feeling well.
Sure.
What a concept.
Sure. And then when you get your hands in the soil, you actually are connecting with that earth and you're grounding yourself. And, it opens up a whole different awareness of one's being. So, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Like once you realize that you're just not like a fragment wandering upon the earth, but made of it, and
right.
You live in it, not just
absolutely.
On it. It is a really beautiful thing. It's like the culture though, it's like a quote unquote religion, and a lot of people
sure.
don't want to hear it.
Sure.
But when they experience, like when you go to a food festival, like the Heirloom Food Festival, I want to talk about the energy there because everyone kind of gathered.
Yeah.
And they were all like, what is this?
Sure.
It's like adult playground. It was so fun.
Sure.
And I was wondering the most, like, what's going to grow from this gathering of people? And it's so beautiful to see it literally growing here.
Right.
Like, you guys are planning so many different things. Tell us about what's going to go on that day.
Exactly. Totally. So we have workshops coordinated, live, get your hands in the ground workshops. So let's see, we're there. We got a honeybee workshop. We've got a fruit tree pruning workshop, living soils and compost. They're talking about permaculture and wicking beds. We're having a demonstration on how to cook nopales, apuntia cactus.
That's like one of the only indigenous foods here. Did you know that?
Yeah, native grown. It you know, is. We have the endangered cactus wren that utilizes it as, you know, it's an endangered species that, you know, only lives in the nopales cactus. So.
Yeah, are you talking about the little beetle?
It's a wren, a bird.
Oh, the bird.
It's
okay.
A bird, a cactus wren. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like you said, it's, you know, it's you know, it's become a philosophy of how to like engage with our environment around, you know, food and animals and medicine. So that's what we're trying to really emphasize is how to reconnect with that movement. And in San Diego, most people don't know that San Diego is the most productive per acre agriculture in the state.
I knew that.
You know, that's huge. That's huge.
Like, we're so lucky to live here.
Absolutely.
We really are.
Yeah. We're one of the 25 biodiverse hotspots in the world. We have over, 2,000 represented native species that out of the, like, I want to say 2,200 different families of plants, we have, nearly all of them represented natively here. It's huge. So, you know, we're reaching out to the Native Plant Society. There's Dave is going to come out and do a talk.
So awesome.
We have a few lectures that
Matt
we're going to have.
Matt mentioned Powers, permaculture. Yep. Like, I just enrolled. Yay, I'm a student on permaculture online.
Yay!
I'm still on, like, the first one, the first video. Matt, you're awesome. He came to my house last week.
Oh, that's awesome,
so
yeah.
So you guys have no flippin' idea. Like, if you come just to talk to Matt Powers,
right.
Totally worth it.
Right.
Not to discredit anything you're all doing.
So
I'm just
powerful.
Saying there's so many elements that I'm just like, I'm gonna jump out of my seat.
Yeah.
Because it's super exciting. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. So he teaches like your philosophy as well, living with the earth, growing food forests.
Right.
And it doesn't take a whole lot of work because that's a misconception. People, I don't have time to garden.
Sure.
But if you give the earth what it needs, it's just going to do it.
Right. It's a foundation. So it starts with the soil. So, compost, we have a Tony Kozowski is coming out for, represents, it's an urban farm. St. Vincent de Paul urban farm. Yeah. And he's talking about living soils, and that's a huge one, is like, once you have your soil alive and active, the biological activity will inherently help support life. And, a lot of people think they can just go stick a plant in the ground. A native plant, something from here, it's already prepared for that. But, a lot of our food crops require, some type of amendment or supplementation. And
I want to interject for just a second. It's really important because we talk a lot about conventional agriculture.
Right.
And the thing that is the most important to understand about it is, like, yes, we're growing a lot of food. But it's false food in the sense that it looks like food, but it's nutrition
deficient right.
Because it hasn't gotten what it needs actually from the soil, because they're just they're prodding or they're planting fields and fields of the same thing over and over and over and over, and they're never swapping or there are no companion plants.
Right.
And we're not composting.
Right. They're not, they're having to bring organic matter in from externally to bring that nutritional level back to a place of where it'll actually grow food,
but it's not as it should be.
Yeah. If it was living in a biologically diverse area with a diversity of other trees and plants, which would naturally shed their leaves and would create that organic matter, you know, the roots in the trees will help facilitate biological activity. Mycorrhiza rhizomes will be present and will facilitate ants being able to help facilitate,
awesome.
You know, and cultivate that pore space that we need, which will enhance the water holding capacity of the soil. That's the whole permaculture philosophy.
There's more density because it's not as compact. And worms do the same thing. The worms come up, they eat the things like the leaves and such that fall. And they take it back down, and they are turning your soil for you.
Exactly.
Like, my favorite thing to do when the weather's like this, like it's raining right now, is I go out and I'm like, time to find all the worms. Right. And I rescue them and I throw them all in my garden.
Yeah.
I probably have more worms than dirt sometimes. But then it turns into more dirt. It's such a beautiful thing. Like, you feed the worms. It's so cool. I feed my worms. I throw some food out there, and then the food disappears, and then I have soil. And I'm like, that's magic.
Yeah.
That
natural cycle. That's real life, you know, and that's like what you're saying is, you know, when we take ourselves away from the traditional form of cultivation, which is really, you know, food forests, right? Mm-hmm. And then, wild harvesting, right? Is like, we used to be foragers. And
it's amazing.
You know, we switched to agriculture and, we started to expand our civilizations. And so that, you know, that whole, practice of cultivating our own food had to shift, you know, raising animals so we, you know, didn't have to work so much to try and harvest. You know, so I, It's challenging when we and now in such a fast-paced society, we are, we can go out the street and there's 10 different things we can purchase, but where do they come from? Where do they source from? So that ability to connect our community back to where its food is sourced from is so critical to us, not only as a health, for our own health, but as a society, as our culture. It's important for us to be able to connect to each other and understand how to relate and how to relate to the earth and the animals and the biodiversity.
It's really important. I like to be objective. I'm reading a book right now called The Naked Ape. I highly recommend it. It's like a 40 or 50 year old book. Basically, a zoologist objectively, there's that word again, observes Homo sapiens as a zoo animal.
Sure.
And it's very interesting. Like you're talking about our evolution with food. We went from sitting in trees and just, mostly right. eating, just reaching our arm out,
right.
grabbing food, and then we would travel as a group to the next spot.
Right.
So
safety.
Exactly. But then we became like a wolf. We became that same animal, but with the instincts of a wolf to hunt. You
sure.
know what I mean? So we're changing and evolving. And I think it's really amazing to be alive and witness people go, this isn't working.
Sure.
Like how do we deal? Well, we grow food everywhere.
Right.
It's so simple, but it's hard for us to kind of unlearn. Matt Powers, he talks about that, and he calls it unschooling.
Right. Yeah, because it's a programmed philosophy. The agriculture, general agriculture. I mean, even you look back to the 50s, 60s. I mean, still we're so caught in those same paradigms, those same ideologies, and now it's. I mean, even with organic, USDA organic certification coming out and. Organ tilled and all these, these ideologies of how to, practice more sustainably and more efficiently and more mindfully, when it comes to our food cultivation is huge. So that I think has been one of the keys to the revolution of advancing that education and understanding and causing people to go question what they're seeing. Because like you said, you taste this food that's a conventionally grown and you compare it to and you taste it to, same varietal. And you taste an organic one.
It's different.
I remember growing up.
They're shaped different.
Yeah.
Like those heirloom tomatoes, they're less appealing because we're trained to see this perfect symmetrical little
sure.
sphere.
Right.
And you see this tomato and it's like, I'm a tomato. You know what I mean? Each one's different.
Right.
And that's what I want though. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to eat the same tomato every time I eat a tomato.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and the richness of flavors. I mean, the diversity of how many different varietals there are. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize that, there's more than a dozen. I mean,
so
that's just like, that's just so that you can find at like
you
a market,
grow
right?
An entire garden with only tomatoes.
Thousands of
and
varietals,
you could
right?
Eat a different, like, you could eat a different one every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some of them taste like pure sugar cane. Like,
right.
My daughter calls them nature candy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
She sees a tomato and she's like, nature candy. I'm
that's
like, that's
awesome.
Red.
Yeah.
Nature candy.
And that's crucial to kids. I have two kids as well, a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old. And, it's so important to like
get them
in early.
The dirt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My son loves to pick blueberries. So we have blueberry shrubs and he goes and he'll pick them and it's like, got to teach him not, to wait till they're ripe because he's all about it. And so it's amazing.
That's important. Patience for sure.
Right. So it teaches all these different philosophies as well of how to relate to life. And so, as a person, he's
without drilling it into your head.
Right.
Like, hey, this is a scenario, kid. When this happens, you do this. I think that's how we get programmed.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Exactly.
So you go out in the world. This is fun. Okay. This is your homework for the weekend. People, everybody. So you go out into the world, right? And you go do that people thing where you go to the store and you go, hi, how are you? And they go,
hi, how are you? I'm great.
Yeah, and half the time they don't even answer how they are.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you're like, well, I'm actually curious. And then this is what
sure.
you do. You go, like, no, really, like, how are you? Like,
yeah.
What's going on in your world? And they go, they look
freeze.
At you like you're crazy because you ask them something out of, like, it's a script.
You're actually engaging them,
how
right?
How in the hell did we all learn this script? Well, because we're so disconnected, and I've said it a lot of times, but it's cool that other people agree with me.
Yeah.
Now.
Right? Kidding. Yeah.
But seriously, though, like, that's been the reality of people like you and I who are like, hey, guys, there's this other thing we could try.
Right.
It's just hard to get the momentum behind you.
Sure.
And I'm really proud of you guys. Like, I've been following what you guys are doing, and it's super inspiring. And I hope that this show on Friday nights inspires people to look at the news or compare it to the news and go, wow, there's a lot of horrible things going on in the world.
Sure.
but I'm a person and I can make a change.
Right.
Like, it's true.
Right.
People hear that a lot, but look at, you're a people.
Right.
And you're doing something out of the ordinary.
Right, totally.
And you brought together all these other people when you guys are making this massive communal event.
Exactly.
And I'm
which
just,
is free. You know,
that's free. What I was getting.
That's like the crucial
it's
part.
Free.
It's knowledge. I mean, I got my bachelor's degree from Oregon State. I got my associate, and I was in natural resources and fish and wildlife conservation. And my associate's degree is in agriculture, which I got from Yuba College. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was, it took me some time, you know, it took me a lot of work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, so to be here as a San Diego native, helping to facilitate for this event and this community, it's so powerful for me. I feel like it's a calling of mine, and it's a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so to be a key role in this event, has inspired me as well to share the knowledge I have and continue to pursue these passions, which, like you said, when you can pull your own fruits or foods from trees right outside of your front door, I mean, you know, it's such a whole different feeling, right? I mean, the relationship changes.
I used to have a job, that thing that you wake up
right.
every day and you're like, what am I going to wear so I can impress people, so I can sell them things?
Right.
So dumb. I can't do that people thing. And then, so you go and do that job, and all day you're like this in the back of your mind. You're like, this sucks. And I found myself, and I used to talk about this, found myself like in the morning going out in the garden
yeah.
before I put on the monkey suit, and I would lose hours. Like
right.
I'd be 3 hours late to work, and the doctor would be like, seriously? There are 40 messages for you. Blah, 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 blah. Here's 5,000 vials. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then I'd be like, dude, do you even know what time is not?
Right.
Like, just to have that sense of I'm a being, and I'm out here doing things in the earth. And
totally.
I'm not concerned what time it is.
Well, that's natural time.
But that's wonderful.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Like, you just, that feeling, I don't think people get that.
Well, I mean, that's like, kind of where the Gregorian calendar, you know, as a time scale, it is tuned and designed around taxation. I mean, you look at Monday through Friday is your work day, and then you have your weekend.
Study the history of that calendar. It's
you know?
Very interesting.
And then you look at the 13 moon calendars, the natural calendars, which, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to talk. I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Yeah.
Because the equinox is important to us as beings.
Yeah.
And I know you have a lot of training. Your bio, we need to go through that thing. We can spend 20 minutes.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm sorry. I'm excited. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we talk about natural time, you know, it's like my background in it is studying it through the Mayan astrology, through the dream spell. So this philosophy is keeps you on a 13 day interval. They call it the human holon. So we relate to it as 20 fingers, 20 digits and toes, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 fingers and toes. So multiplied by the 13, which is the major joints in our body, right? So 13 times 20 is 260, which is our natural gestation as humans. Right.
Wow.
So, and this is they call the Zolk'in, and
this is the Mayan
dream spell. Yeah.
Mayan
so,
dream spell.
So the Zolk'in calendar is I call it the human calendar because it directly comes from us. You know, 20 digits, 13 joints, 260 gestation period. You know, so we have 20 different archetypes, characters. You know, each one is represented
is
on the
like,
fingers
is
and
this
toes.
Kind of like the young. You're talking about archetypes, like.
Well, it's like each one has a representation. So, for example, my character is the moon, which represents purify, universal water, and flow. And my character falls on the wave spell of the wind, which the wind represents communication, breath, and spirit. Now, my character on that 13-day wind wave spell is on the eighth day, which is galactic. And the galactic character represents harmonizing energy from past to present. So my whole purpose is purifying universal water and flowing to be able to bring past to present and communicate that ideology of spirit, right? So I look at it as, you know, I look at all these ancient traditions and I take them in and absorb them, and then I discern and interpret so that others are more easily able to relate to them, so they can use that knowledge and take it out to their own community or their life and utilize it. So
what you're talking about is... It's very interesting. Like, what you just said, I'm going to translate
sure.
for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think everyone else understood you. I did. you feel like your understanding of your experience has brought you to this moment.
Right.
Which is awesome, because I feel that way too. In my own experience, like, there are no accidents. We're
right.
all on our own personal mission. And we get so, I love that we're being philosophical on this waxing
Yeah,
moon, right?
absolutely,
And I was
absolutely,
looking at the
yeah.
numbers because I'm really like, I pay attention to everything
Yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
So I was like, today I was like, oh, 311, those are good numbers. Oh, and the moon's maxing. So I was being all philosophical, but
Yeah.
those things mean certain things to me,
Absolutely.
right? Everything has a certain meaning to you. And I think as beings, we get caught up in that script I was kind of
Right,
talking
that
about
time
earlier.
scale, yeah.
Yeah, it's a paradigm. Paradigm's a lovely word. Like, I really, and I've been talking about this for a few years, that I feel like humans are, we're watching an evolution. It's happening.
Right.
We are evolving every moment, every day, but we forget it.
Right.
Because we lost that connection. We don't plant the seed. We don't nurture the seed.
Sure.
We don't grow the seed. We don't eat that. That's energy. What you put in there, you can
Absolutely.
Literally put in here. So I'm glad that your experience has brought you to share what you have so that other people can utilize it if they so wish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, that's what's going to happen. Like, whoever's listening to this or whoever attends your event,
right.
they're going to get exactly what they need.
Absolutely.
Every
well,
time.
And it's so malleable because, you know, we set it up so that all of our keynote speakers are at different times. So you'll
okay.
see all of them.
Kudos.
You know, it took me a
okay.
lot of time to do the logistics, but that's one of my arts as well as arrangements.
So. I'm just going to clap right now.
Thank you.
Because Heirloom Seed Swap, like, I was, most of the time I was there, I'm like computing, how can I make it in
right.
five places at once? And I spent a lot of the times talking to the organizers, like, okay, we need simultaneous broadcasting.
Right, right, right.
I was like, next year, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of being there and having all, it's like having the internet, but with no browser.
Sure.
It's like, okay, I've got the ability to
right.
have knowledge, but
I can't reach it.
I can't,
yeah.
exactly, I can't touch it.
Yeah, so that was an art. That was a dance, you
that
know.
That is an art
and,
dance.
So
how many hours is your event?
So the event starts at 11, and it runs until 7 p.m. So
it's long.
It's
like a day thing.
Yeah,
right?
So our lectures are going to be running from 11 until 3, 11:30. So,
11:30
yeah, so we're having check-in at 10:30 because, we, you know, people are going to bring seed. We want them to bring seed, and we have envelopes, so we want to package it up and,
I'm
you know.
Bring so many
yeah,
seeds.
Bring some seed, check in early, and, you know, everyone that brings seed is going to be able to take home more seed. You know, versus the people that don't bring anything, they're still going to get some seed. They're not going to get as much, though, as those who are also contributing to the event. In that,
that
you know,
makes sense.
So,
okay.
you know, we want to honor everybody and what they're contributing, both the participants as well as the exhibitors and the, you know, the different lecturers and such. So, you know, we set it up to make sure that everybody is going to get their space. So, you know, the garden is going to be running. We have workshops from 11:30 until 11:30 till 2, we have workshops in the garden, and then we have two different staging areas. We have an outdoor staging area, it's going to be behind World Beat Center, it's going to be our Sunshine Village, and you know, that's, we're going to have kids and family area.
I was gonna say, it's super kid friendly.
Super kid friendly.
Lots of kid
yeah.
activities.
Yeah, bring a
oh,
lunch and a
okay.
blanket. And
I'm really quick, I just remembered, there's a kid activity that requires toilet paper rolls.
Yes.
Like, if
it's
still
paper
have
towel
time,
rolls. Paper towel rolls.
If
yep.
you guys can save them, like, if you go on Facebook, her name is
Stephanie
McCoy,
yeah.
or the Tiny Farmer.
Yeah.
She needs those rolls.
Yeah, paper towel rolls.
So
could,
I
yeah.
had to remember to say that.
Yeah, we want to, we basically, she's going to chop them up and make them into little planters, and the kids are going to get their hands dirty and
That's
have
my
fun.
Secret. That's how I plant
yeah.
all my, like, people come to my house, like, why do you have 5,000? I'm like, I'm saving for spring.
Yeah, you know, natural composting, you know, it's
perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Stephanie McCoy needs yours for next week.
Yeah.
It's all, would you tell them the date? It's
yeah,
the
March 20th. Yeah, you know, we, you know, when Dale and I talked about this, we said, you know, when do we do it? Do we do it in October? Or do we do it in springtime? You know, I was like, well, you know, again, because I follow the natural calendar, I'm like, well, what other date than the beginning of spring? We need
Talk
to,
about that, like, in your experience, like, why is that important?
Yeah, so, you know, historically, it's our celebration times. You know, the equinoxes and solstices, it's when we come together and we focus ourselves on whatever particular agricultural time we're in. You know, so obviously springtime is the new cultivation and planting of seeds. And, you know, we look at, like, the autumnal equinox, which is our harvest time, right? And, you know, and then you look at the winter solstice, which is, you know, the time in which we're packing in, right, for the winter. So it's, you know, preparing for that shift. And then you look at the summer solstice, and that's you know,
everything's cyclical.
It's cyclical, and that's
yeah.
our peak time, right? That's the mm-hmm. most sunlight. So, you know, there's a lot of fruits being harvested at that time. There's a lot of plants that are going into flower because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it has to do with the photo times, you know, how much sunlight there is,
exactly.
right?
So people can go home, though, and actually take what you give them and use it.
Absolutely.
So it's not going to just go in a drawer and, oh, I'm going to forget about it.
Right.
I'll
you know,
it later.
yeah,
no,
we're trying
do
to get
it
hands
now.
on. Yeah.
You have this knowledge. Go dig a hole. Go put some stuff in
Right.
there. Pour some warm compost tea on
Right.
it. Whatever. Throw
Yeah.
leaves on
Exactly.
it.
And, you know, and we have a bunch of great donors and sponsors. So we have
Okay.
tons of product that we're going to be raffling off.
I
You
love
know,
Leslie Goldman.
Leslie's
He's.
great. Yeah, he's doing our opening and closing ceremony for us. So that one, I think he wants to start like 10:45, 11 o'clock. He wants to get rolling. We're gonna, you know, do a nice organized ceremony and set
Kind of
the
set the
intention.
tone, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's he does that the same thing at the Heirloom Festival. It's Leslie Goldman is enchanted. He's the enchanted gardener, and he's been on my show a lot. And we followed him going up to
Yeah.
the festival. His whole thing is you can grow a garden in pots.
Yeah.
You totally
Well,
can.
that's my lectures. I'm talking about container gardens.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
So,
amazing.
I mean, to just give you an example, I have a 2-year-old passion vine. I got, it's in a 5-gallon ceramic pot, and I yielded 5 pounds of passion fruits last year
What?
on my second year, you know? So, I
Wow.
mean, it's growing up a full staircase. I
Why is
live
that
in an
in,
apartment.
okay, why is that important? Okay, that's impressive, first of all. Yeah. But for people who aren't gardeners, why is it impressive that it's 2 years old and it's in that size?
Well, I mean, it's
Like for people who don't get
so
it.
for example, I mean, I only have maybe 200 square feet of space to utilize, and which is awesome at an apartment. You know, it's underneath a staircase. You know, so this staircase, I mean, it was just basically bare dirt. It had you know, some like small hedges there, but not, you know, not anything really noteworthy. And for me to put a vine into this pot and then put it into the ground and have it sitting there for now 2 years and, you know, just nurturing it and have it turn into this extremely strong, full of life, vibrant creature. You
It's
know,
alive.
it's totally alive. You know, it's already flowering.
I
You
call
know, I
them
mean, and
plant
it's,
babies. Like they're
yeah,
little lives, dude. And
absolutely.
oh,
And
it
to honor
just
it and
to
nurture it and
Derek Bros, I'm sorry, Derek Bros wrote a book called The Conscious Resistance: Reflections on Spirituality and Anarchy. Woo! That's the title.
Yeah.
But there's this part in it that I've always played in my mind because I think people don't get me. Like when I had to translate you, like
Yeah.
you experience life on another realm.
Sure.
Like he talks about how the Native Americans have different, or not the Native Americans, the Hawaiians, sorry
Yeah.
people,
I love my
have
Hawaiians.
they have some beautiful perspectives on
Absolutely.
lives. And
Ohana, the you
just
know, the Aina and how much they nurture it, you know. I
there's
mean,
different levels of perception, right? And
absolutely.
your connectedness determines how you see. Like, for example, like someone could look at a tree and they're like, there's a tree. Someone else could look at a tree and go, I am that tree. You know what
Right.
I mean? It just depends on your level of connectivity to
Absolutely.
it. So the fact that you're like nurturing this thing for 2 years in an apartment under a staircase
Right.
is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's
So
so
what do
much
you put in
fun.
that pot? Like, what do
I
you, what do
mean,
you, what kind of stuff goes in that soil?
well, so I mean, I prep my soil mix, which I get most of my products from City Farmers Nursery. You know, I like to shop
Yay!
local. You know, I like to support local
I
agriculture.
love
And,
City
you know,
Farmers.
so I go over there and I get a bag of topsoil and a bag of their compost. And I get some organic fertilizer, and I take that home and I mix it up in a nice little blend, and I load that up in the pot in the container, and I plant my
It's
plant.
not that
It's
difficult.
really simple,
It's
you
yeah.
know, and it's just knowing what kind of plant you have. So fruit and flower fertilizer, I believe it, you know, that targets anything that's going to produce fruit and flowers for you.
There you
You know,
go. I
or
like
an
this.
acid-loving fertilizer, which is for, you know, rhododendrons or gardenias, but also is perfect for blueberries because blueberries are acid-loving plants.
So that'd work for elderberries as
Right,
well.
absolutely. So,
I
you
want to
know,
grow those.
I have 3 blueberries. I mean, I yielded a few pounds of blueberries, you know, and that's, you know, again, containers. I mean, all of my plants are in containers because I live in an apartment building. I'm going to take those plants with me. I'm not going to plant them there.
Exactly.
I want to take them with me. So,
I have that problem now where I planted some plants in the ground, and now I'm thinking like, what if I ever move?
you
This
know,
is gonna be a
you're going to
problem.
have to dig them up and
I'm
it's
gonna
going to
have
take
to
a little
dig a
work
lot
and
of things up.
yeah.
I planted all my, you were talking about cactus. I planted all my cactus, all my aloe, like all
Yeah.
my sacred plants, all
Right.
my healers, and I'm
Yeah.
like, wait, these are my most important
Take
ones.
some cuttings. You know, they
Yeah,
reproduce
and that's what
fast.
I did. Like, I just started putting them in pots, and now I have like little
Yeah.
babies
Oh
everywhere.
yeah, that's how I mean I have a pomegranate tree, and it's it was throwing out little suckers from the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so.
So why do they? Okay, this is important. This has a point, I promise.
Yeah.
Because food is free.
Right.
It just keeps perpetuating right. itself. On the note of succulents, why do they make their little babies? There's probably a technical term, but sure. they're so deep under the ground that you'd have to dig to find them. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
New little nodules?
Sure, yeah. You know, so.
It's kind of like a potato.
It's, well, yeah, if you think about it like that, it stores energy, you know, and a lot of these plants, they're designed to be able to facilitate in extreme weather, right? They call them hardy, right? Mm-hmm. So the hardy plants tend to have nutrient storage banks, and that is what you're referencing, is
it
that ability to store nutrients.
It looks super, like, edible.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, some of them might be, yeah.
It's like an artichoke heart or like a romaine heart. You're like, ooh, that's special.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
so
and
you can grow things like that where they, like, take no maintenance, and that's food.
Right.
Say, like, the water gets contaminated.
Right.
You could go out there and you could eat so many of your succulents, or, you know what I mean?
You find the right plants and facilitate for yourself, you know, and then, like, what I was mentioning, like, with this pomegranate, it's throwing out growth that isn't necessarily the best for production. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to prune that growth off anyways. Mm-hmm. So what I've done is now I take that and I take those branches that I trimmed and I stick them in a glass of water and I change that water every day for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And by that time I have roots. And then I take that cutting and I go stick it in the ground in a little container. And now I have a plant that in 3 to 5 years is ready to be fully productive again.
And you got that from one plant.
Right.
And you can take cuttings. And it's important, like 45 degrees, right?
Well, you know, it's yeah. I mean, that's important for, like, to allow the water to run mm-hmm. off. These ones in particular are cut right from the base of the stem. So
okay.
they have there's a little bump that comes off of the yeah. Of the main branch, right?
Right?
And they call that the collar.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to leave the collar intact and prune directly off that base.
Okay.
So, you know, that branch, we want to, you know, you want to get it as close as you can for that healing purpose of the tree, you know? But what you're referencing, the 45 is like, let's say I cut something like a rose, right? I prune mm-hmm. my rose every year. When I cut it at a 45, it allows when the rain falls in the winter, it allows the water to run off.
Okay.
Right? So as if it was flat and
I
the water
see.
Settled, it would get funky and mold.
I thought it had to do with Fibonacci sequence.
It might.
And I mean, it was like, oh, sacred G, sacred
yeah,
G,
yeah,
sacred
yeah.
G. Mathematician.
Well, I guess it could in that sense of gravity,
it's
right?
45 degrees.
You know,
some
it's
magic in there, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's friction. You know, friction is going to hold the water there. So at that 45 degree angle, friction combined with gravity allows it to run off. So,
well,
I mean,
you said
you know,
gravity, that's the magic
yeah,
word.
You know.
Let's not talk about that. Or don't say gravity in my presence.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk about it. Sorry. That's
no,
like my favorite thing
yeah.
in the world. Super relative.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite
well,
joke.
And you know, I mean, that's the moon changes our tides, you know. So in that sense, like, you know, gravitational fields influence
gravity
growth.
Is everything.
Yeah,
I'm super upset that nobody talks about gravity all day. Like,
yeah.
We need to have gravity groups. We need to have like 500,000
yeah.
members in them on Facebook. Like now,
yeah.
Gravity is everything.
Yeah,
and
totally.
We have no idea how it works.
You know, we
need to talk about gravity.
We're still learning a lot. We're
Except
still learning a lot about everything.
We're super new species. Like, we haven't figured out how to feed ourselves yet, but we're getting there.
You know, I mean, well, and that's, like, what's crazy is that we produce 600% of the food that we actually need for consumption, and we only get to market 50% of that.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know
so,
why. I know why. Because
yeah.
we spend a lot of time driving it around.
That's it. Food waste, transportation costs, you know, all these different aspects. And, you know, realistically speaking, I mean, We're constantly being told that we have to support genetic modification because we need to produce more food. But look, I mean, we produce six times our need. I mean, already.
And
you
throw
know,
it away.
And if you think about the negative impact from like you said, the fuel cost to the you know, the pesticide
that pollutes
the
air.
And the, you know, all these aspects of, I mean, well,
there's so many things.
Right. You know, you take the water out of the ground or you take the water out of the lake and now you have fine sediment that's took, you know, thousands of years to settle in that lake now is open to the air to be lifted airborne because
mm-hmm.
it's light enough to get up. You know, and that's, you know, that happened with, you know, they call it Cadillac Desert. That's Los Angeles pulled the water from Mono Lake. And there's a second lake up there. And they was rescued by like 12 biologists, saved it because of all this happening. And now L.A. actually has to pay to put water back in that lake.
It's happening a lot in California,
yeah.
actually. because, you know, our water, we have a water shortage, obviously, right. And that's happening a lot.
Absolutely.
And what would Matt Power say we need to do? We need to grow more food.
Yeah, well,
what people think we shouldn't be doing.
We got to modify our development, you know, because exactly. What's happening is, you know, we in
it's
San Diego.
Be regenerative. Right. I have trouble with that word.
Regenerative. Yep.
That word.
Yeah.
Instead, because people talk about, oh, it's got to be sustainable. Wrong word.
Right.
No, it's got to regenerate.
Right. Regenerative.
You got to give back.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, in San Diego, our negative impact has been with development because we create hardscapes. You know, we used to have 26,000 acres of vernal pools, which are these seasonal pools that are only over our winter. You know, their rain comes in, you know, November, December, and the pools, by the time they're, you know, in March, April, they're already dried up. You know, so, and we have, you know, rare native species that are living and thriving in those regions. And that's all, you know, development has, we've built all these hardscapes and that water now, instead of infiltrating into our soil and creating, you know, that magnetic draw for the rain to fall. What we've done is now put that water into channelizing through our storm drain system and flushing it out to the ocean via our rivers. And our rivers now are negatively impacted because the amount of water going through them has increased. So the amount of force has increased. So sedimentation and runoff increases, and the quality of our riverine systems are negatively impacted. So, you know, that is a whole trickle down effect, and that it totally relates to water holding capacity.
Sometimes I literally can't think about it.
Well, I mean, because it's in my studies, it's hard. Yeah.
I can't not think about it.
Right. You can't not think about it.
Because I'm on year like 6 or 7 in being in this movement of food consciousness. And I lose so much sleep over it because it's not just me. It's not just me going to the store and eating healthy for my family. It's the whole thing, the whole planet. And people don't think about that their one little minuscule existence matters on the big scale, but it does.
Well, look at this community event, right?
That's what
I mean, each individual person, right?
It's like this whole show has a theme.
Absolutely.
It's true. I feel like, you know how, like, I wasn't even supposed to do this show tonight. I've been cocooning.
Yeah,
like, I've literally
totally.
Been cocooning in preparation for greatness, like you.
Right.
Like, I feel like I've been on a mission, and I feel like it's about to happen. Because
absolutely.
All the things that I imagined are becoming fruition, like
reality.
I never imagined 3 years ago when I found Baker Creek heirloom catalog, I studied it like my Bible.
Right. Yeah.
And I carried it around in my bag. And anytime I meet someone who liked food, I'm like, what?
Check out this diversity. Yeah.
And you know what happened? Like 2 years later, I met that guy.
Yeah. Jerry, you know, right?
Yeah. And then I met his family. I'm like,
yeah, whoa, that's awesome.
I'm at your seed bank. It's just, it's beautiful how everything just...
So interconnected. I mean,
exactly.
It's such a small world. I mean, you know, to like you said, to reach out and see something, and then to years later see all the same things coming together.
No, seriously, like all these keynote speakers, we've all connected in some way. You know what I mean? It's just, it's beautiful. Like when you're on your mission and you're doing your thing, they call it synchronicity.
Yeah.
Like when everything is like,
yeah, all
you're
this,
like, huh,
yeah.
That's lining up. Huh, that's lining up.
Absolutely.
Huh, that's lining up. It's because you're doing it right.
And that's magic.
That's,
you know,
it's
that's
just magic.
You know, that's the beauty of life. When you know you're in the right place, you have synchronicities.
True.
And that's, you know, that's something that I always am looking out for. You know, it's just like this. Like when Dale talked to me about it, I was like, oh, well, the synchronicity point is March 20th, the equinox, you know? And the reason being is because everyone is going to be shifting into that state of, I don't want to be hermiting anymore. You know,
I
want to be
out.
I want to go get outside. I mean, look, we're in San Diego. We're already getting out of winter. I mean, it's already weather is already.
Winter.
Yeah, right. That fourth season that we don't have. Yeah. So
it's
that's
when it rains for like 12 hours.
Right. You know, we get a whole half inch of rain. Yeah.
Free car wash.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was glad I didn't have to water my plants this morning.
Oh,
I was
gosh.
Like, oh, I gotta water my plants. Oh, great. Yeah, it's raining today.
It's the best thing when you get rain because I collect so much of it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a gray water workshop.
Tell me about it.
H2 Ohm is coming out. They're going to be talking
right,
about rainwater collection.
Super clever.
Yeah, they're awesome. Brooke, I just talked with Brooke
what
this week.
What is gray water? People don't know about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's big in Hawaii. So, you know, you mentioned Hawaii. Gray water basically is anything that's falling off your roof or that you're, utilizing in your home that is secondary use. So, like, from your dishwasher or from your sink And, you know, if you use the right chemicals, like, you know, you use the right organic soaps, then you can take that water and you can, utilize it in your garden. Obviously, it's not potable drinking water, but it's something that you can put out for your plants and, you know, they love it. And it's a secondary use for your water. Rainwater harvesting is crucial, especially, like you said, in a place where we get very minimal rainfall. Mm. Our precipitation is what, like less than 10 inches a year. Right. And so,
super minimal,
you know, but you think about the square footage of roofs, like housing roofs. Right. And you think about that and you start to look at the amount of water that hits that, you know, let's
I
say
can't
like,
think about
a, you know,
because then I want
so
to run
much.
Around all night in well, the rain and go.
It's so much. But you know, what's amazing is that
screw sleep. There's water to collect.
Yeah. And you can do it. You can do it in your sleep. Well, and that's like what's amazing is I'm putting together a community resource guide. It's it's the largest compendium of San Diego.
Ooh, wait,
agricultural
say that word again.
Compendium.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a huge. I got like 12 or 14 pages worth of hyperlinks to all these different organizations that you guys need to learn about. And one of them in particular is the rebates. And right now, there's rain barrel rebates.
Oh my gosh.
You know.
Yes. There's so many. The government wants to throw money at you for being more conscious.
Right, absolutely.
It's like they care
sometimes. And that's huge
what
for me because
that?
There's those right organizations. You know, the government has...
There's money sitting there
right.
for people who want to do things.
Yeah. And there's those departments that are facilitating for it. You know, I'm in the process of getting involved with the county's Ag Weights and Measures Department. It's something that for me, with my background, I want to be in San Diego and I want to facilitate in a positive way. So I'm working on getting myself in a position where I'm going to be part of that representation of government, because it's important to have our community there and recognize that these are people that live with us. They're our neighbors and our neighbors care and they're educating themselves, you know, and those that are really reaching out, they're trying to facilitate for us to be able to expand and as a community, be able to continue to thrive, you know, so... These rebates, you know, we need to take advantage of them because that's limited resources,
we
limited
could do
time.
We can do a whole show on teach. Can we? Can
yeah,
we
totally.
Do a whole show on teaching people how to take advantage of rebates that are just sitting there?
Absolutely.
We could do that. That's happening eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and this compendium that I've made, it's got everything important related to any rebates that you can get within not only the city of San Diego and the county of San Diego, but Southern California, SoCal Water Smart is the Southern California, they're really the water district of Southern California, you know, and related to, turf removal, you know, that program is funded and in a month it's gone.
Yes.
It's so fast. The money, because people want to shift.
Well, they give you like, I have a personal experience where my girlfriend, a 10 by 10 was
right.
her yard. She lived in Del Mar or something like that,
yeah.
North of the 8, let's just say. And she got a check for $8,500 for putting in false grass.
Wow.
In a 10 by 10, because she was in the right area and she talked to the right people at the right
yeah.
time. They're like, oh, you're going to save water? Have all this money.
Yeah.
Imagine what she could do if she was organizing a seed swap.
Right.
With that money.
Right.
Seriously, that's so
Absolutely.
Much money for
yeah.
a gardener.
I mean, and we're asking for very little. I mean, we're, you know, as a grassroots organization, I mean, yeah, we're asking $2,500 to facilitate this event. I mean,
you
that's nothing.
You guys have a
nothing.
GoFundMe. We haven't said a word about it.
Yeah.
But it's super important that you guys go check it out.
Yeah. It's GoFundMe.com/SDSeedSwap. Check it out.
I love that. Okay. First of all, kudos again.
Thank
it's like you.
You
guys really put a lot of thought into this. Because when you go to that GoFundMe, normally you know you're kind of guarded when you go to a
totally.
GoFundMe.
Totally. You're like, hey, give me some money.
You want my money, but all my guards are up.
Right.
You have to convince me. I have to feel it in my heart that you need it.
Right.
But you guys are super genuine. You have an entire detailed list of what every penny will
yeah,
be
delegated. Yeah, all of
delegated.
Our costs.
Yeah, the cost, boom, right there. I want to throw all my money at it.
That's
like,
awesome.
I don't have all my money to throw at you right now, sadly.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's coming. You know, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of a long relationship.
It's a beautiful thing. Oh, he likes me, guys.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a
blushing.
Beautiful world,
don't
you know?
Now, show's over. Yeah, we're done. And we're done. No, I'm just kidding. But I literally did.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, you know, we want to put on quarterly events. Like we said, we want to be in cycle with the natural time, you know. So every equinox and solstice, we're going to have a new theme. So the theme
for
the
keep your momentum.
You're going to keep the momentum. So this, you know, this $2,500 is not just for this event. It's for the long term. You know, it's getting us, it's helping develop that continuity of this program. And, you know, again, we have so many supporters of different organizations in San Diego.
Yes.
You know, we got the California Rare Fruit Growers behind us.
The World Beet Center.
Makeda Dredd.
You.
Yeah.
Makeda's the mama of San Diego.
Yeah.
She really is.
And she, you know, the Children's Garden, the Ethnobotanical Children's Garden that she's organized, you know, it's amazing. You know, she's doing a birding exhibit. She's connected with Cornell Lab of Ornithology, which I
didn't know that.
Yeah. This is like the top ornithology lab in the country. I mean, they are amazing on what they're working on. So
she's also a permaculture student.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh yeah. She loves her gardening, you know?
She does.
So, yeah. So it's amazing to be working with that garden, you know, because it's, you know, it's teaching our children, it's our future generation. So, you know, I'm happy to be able to participate and to be able to be honored and given that space. So,
it's very sacred space.
Absolutely.
You guys are going to be between the World Beet Center and the cultural center.
Yeah, we have both sites. So we're during the day we're going to be in the children's garden doing our workshops. We're going to be behind and around the World Beet Center, like from basically standing from the parking lot behind the building all the way towards the grass area
where the tall trees are.
Exactly, those eucalyptus trees that shouldn't be there.
No, they're wonderful.
Yeah, they're tall and beautiful shade structures. Yeah,
I've sat on those trees. Probably,
it's such a nice spot. Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
As much as I've sat on the cliffs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh yeah,
not
totally.
Not important, but it's super important.
Yeah, and then we're connecting over to the Cultural de la Raza where. We're going to have the whole inside as well as the parking lot there. So
music, right?
Yeah, live music all day. So it's set up to where the music, we have two stages. So two stages, the Sunshine Stage, which is our outdoor stage, and the Cultural Stage, the Centro Stage, is in Centro Cultural de la Raza. And the music will be alternating back and forth. So, and you know, it's set to where, you know, lectures are alternating back and forth between those two stages. And if there's a lecture at one, there's music at the other, and then they switch so that, you know, if you're like, hey, I've learned so much, my brain's overloaded, I need to go listen to some music and chill out in the grass for a minute, you got that space, you know. So we, you know, we've facilitated it so everyone gets an opportunity to enjoy and, you know, take their own initiative to be where they want to be. So
you guys should live stream it.
That would be amazing. Yeah, let's facilitate it. Let's do it.
Seriously?
I'm going to be GoPro-ing a lot of it, so we're going to be, you know, recording a lot of it. That would be great. Yeah, let's talk more.
I just got a new stabilizer.
Cool.
So you guys don't have to watch me wobble around.
That sounds great.
Seriously, though, we could bring the people there, so that would be awesome.
Yeah.
If you're not in San Diego, you could see what's going on.
Yeah, because we do have a greater community outside of San Diego coming to help facilitate this. One organization I want to throw out there is Seed Library of Los Angeles. These guys are sending down some representatives. They're we went up to their meeting last month, and they have shown so much support for our organization, and they want to help us facilitate for a Seed Library of San Diego. So this is in the works. This is what this organization is working towards. This event is the beginning of that. And so we're looking long term. You know, we want to be able to
you're planting seeds.
We want to plant seeds. So we're working on the 501c3 for ourselves, and we're working to be able to serve underprivileged communities. We want to, you know, Smart Pots donated tons of pots. So it's like $500 worth of product to us, you know, and we want to be able to take that Smart Pot and take our, you know, fresh made compost and soil and put that in there, give a packet of seeds with it, and go put that in a site where the kids are going to see it, where the students and the families are going to see it, the community is going to see it. And, you know, they're going to say, well, what is that about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in El Cajon. And you know,
oh, it's a box.
It's a box, you know.
A little town trapped inside of mountains.
Yeah, but it's an ag community, so it's so fascinating to see how it's transitioned.
It is. Now?
It gets dry. Well, it's been an ag community traditionally, and it's transitioned to be that suburban area.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
so
there used to be so many groves in this area.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's amazing though, like, you know, that community, that's, you know, in some sense it's an underserved, underprivileged community, because there's you know, I talk to my Spanish teacher and she lives on the same block as my family, and she says, you know, I was telling her I'm getting my degree in agriculture, and she's like, well, if you ever want to come and do a workshop or something, my kids need to see that. Because she's like, you know, we planted some carrots, and we pulled a carrot out of the ground, and the kids were just like, what is that? What is going on? And they're like, we thought carrots were from the store. And you know, so it's like this whole, like you said, that this lack of education about agriculture and natural resources as a whole. I mean, it's amazing. And like I said, as such a like agriculturally rich community, you would think that that would be like a natural go-to for our education system, especially for the kids. So to see more and more, or, you know, schools
going
getting
way.
Towards that direction, you know, the children's gardens and those, it's huge. You're, it's amazing.
There's a community garden. It's funny that you mentioned El Cajon, that I'm trying to become involved in, and they have huge spaces, like 10 by 10.
That's great. That's huge. 100 square feet's a lot of room.
And it includes water, and it's only like $100 a year.
That's amazing. amazing.
That's the steal of the century. Yeah. I'm going to buy all of them.
Right?
But I'm just saying, like, that's in one tiny little part of San Diego.
Right.
And you mentioned how many people, it's happening.
Well, you know,
it happened. It is.
San Diego Community Garden Network. You know, Walt Sanford, you know, Walt's a great guy. I'm glad that he and I got to connect, and, you know, that program is huge. So, you know, there's ways to connect. And, you know, so another thing, like underprivileged community, like food stamps, you know, people don't always know they can buy seed with food stamps. You know,
I don't think people do
know. A lot of people don't know. You can go use your food stamps and buy seed. I actually bought some from Seeds of Change from Sprouts, you know, organic Seeds of Change, you know, specialty seed. And that's, you know, that's huge. A lot of people don't realize
that. Wow, you could buy a $2 packet of seeds and grow melons forever.
Right. You know, so, and that's why seed swapping or seed exchange is so important, because, you know, when we cultivate our own seed, and we have that as a resource.
That's
now I
money.
Have a value. That's money in your pocket.
That's,
absolutely.
That's better than money.
Absolutely. And now as a facilitation.
I love that you said that. Because like, I don't care about Federal Reserve notes. Like, I use them, but it's not my favorite.
Right.
Like, if people only knew how rich I was, like, I'm like, if they only knew how vast my seed bank was.
Right.
Because to me, it literally is infinite.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have food.
It's perpetual.
Forever. And my children have food forever. And their children have food forever.
Right.
And isn't that what our whole goal is to nurture and reproduce just like a plant?
Absolutely.
And that's so beautiful to have that understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. Foresight. I mean, when it comes to natural resources, it's so important that we relate to the value rather than the monetary denomination, because value is not inherently understood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, value is in the exchange. So to you, something is of value because you have an awareness about it. The next person, they may have no awareness. So to them, it has no value. Mm-hmm. So that's why education is so important.
Exactly. If people understand, exactly. If they understand the value of that seed, they would want it too.
Yeah,
and they'd
absolutely
want to share it with their friends.
Well, and that's where we are. You know, this event, it came out of that whole, that philosophy, because all these different people that are involved in this organization, they are already doing it, and we are already preaching to the choir. You know what I mean?
It's so, like, hey guys, we're all talking to each other.
Yeah.
Let's teach other people now.
Exactly. So that's crucial. The outreach now, this event is, it's designed, it's free because we want everyone to have the knowledge, and we want people to realize the vast availability of the resources just within our community, right? You know, so you know, we've got so many different supporters. You know, let me just, like, our seed supporters got all good things: organic seeds, Annie heirloom seeds, Baker Creek heirloom seeds,
woo!
Barrio Seed Bank, Bountiful Gardens, you know, the Rare Fruit Growers I mentioned,
Cacao Fest.
Yeah, Cacao Fest is a supporter. Girl in a Garden, Girl Next Door Honey, she's doing a workshop, you know.
Yeah,
she's,
you mentioned that.
Yeah, so we got it. We're gonna live honeybee intro to honeybee workshop.
I will be filming all
yeah
that.
Crucial. And she's, you know, she's a self-learned, and you know, has been doing this for some years, and manages, I want to say she managed like over 60 different hives within the
That's
community.
Impressive.
You
These
know?
Are no joke.
No, it takes a practice.
We
yeah.
can't do any of this.
Pollination is crucial.
It's
yeah. You know, crucial for us.
That,
you know,
sex needs to happen.
Right. And, you know, the wind can't do it all for us, you know.
But no, yeah. I mean, it tries really hard.
It does.
But
yeah.
Bees. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so crucial. And then let's see, what else we got? Green Places, H2OM, Urban Acupuncture and Wellness, Hill Tribe Hemp, Lazy Hummingbird.
Yay, Hill Tribe Hemp.
Yeah, Huerta del Valle, they're doing the Nopales workshop.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, Pila, Renee's Garden Seeds, another seeds, they donated some seeds to us. Seed Library Ballet.
wait.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
come I didn't think about this? I'm mad, but super excited. I'm going to say sexy food. That's a business.
Yeah. Yeah, they
I want to know everything about
yeah, you know, I actually I just got a message from Dale about them. I guess he talked to them early. I don't really actually know what they
Well,
do,
it's
but
intriguing
I'm
because if you're
intrigued.
doing food right, it is very
Yeah,
sexy.
you know, and I worked as a chef, so
So
you know, to me, like,
you
yeah,
know all
food is
about
totally
food.
a sexy
Like food
art.
porn is a thing. Like
Yeah.
people watch other kind. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Show me the sauteed
Yeah,
potato.
I want to see those heirlooms. I want to see that local grown, you
Let me
know.
see your
Yeah.
chiffonade.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and so see St. Vincent de Paul Urban Farm, Tiny Farmer San
Oh,
Diego,
she's awesome.
Turtle Tree Biodynamic Seed Initiative. I got to talk about these guys. These guys do the you know, naturally pollinated, wind pollinated seed production. You know, so these guys it's
Wait, like
biodynamic farming is like the ultimate in organic farming. It's like you know, do you know Masanobu Fukuoka?
not personally.
One Straw Revolution. He's you know, he's the late Masanobu Fukuoka. He's to me, he's one of the fathers of permaculture. He prefecture in Japan. He's cultivating rice, and he has a orange grove. You know, 15 acres of oranges. And you know, traditionally rice is cultivated in wet fields, right? And he's cultivating dry cultivation, hand seeded. Okay, so they're just walking around throwing seed
Are there
out.
videos of this?
I mean, books. You know, so like, I mean, he, you know, he puts them in, he puts the seed in clay pellets and then throws them out
Like
there
seed
like seed
bombs.
bombs, right? Because then,
Ah.
you know, you don't lose so many seeds to the
They're
birds and the
protected
creatures,
because that's a
right?
problem.
And then he times it around the monsoon seasons, right? So all of a sudden, throws out the seed, boom,
That
water
is
comes in, they
permaculture.
start breaking down, and then all of a sudden his rice fields grow. And he walks around and does his does natural weeding with a scythe. So he takes the scythe and just chops the weeds right there, and they just lay there organically and decompose and provide nutrients. He's like top production in Japan. Like his prefecture, you know, he's producing, you know, 2,000, 2,200 you know, pounds per hectare of like, you know, per
Wow.
rice production. I mean, vast amounts. I mean, so I mean, that's literally, I mean, the closest people to him are like 1900, 1800. Like he's producing a significant amount of food with very little input, you know? And that's, I think, the whole philosophy behind permaculture
Exactly.
is to reduce your input and increase your output.
And you don't, and you, you're maximizing your life.
Absolutely.
You have the best food. You don't have to have a JOB, that thing we talked about
Right.
earlier. Don't do it. Do what you love instead.
Absolutely.
Do what you want to do. Oh, I could talk about all that for 10 years.
Absolutely.
Because then you're going to be your happiest. And that you don't have to worry about food. You don't have, you know, you have a surplus of food. You don't have to spend
Exactly.
all day growing food. Then what are you going to do? You're going to do that thing you want to
You're going to enjoy
do.
your hobbies and
You're
you're
going
going to
to
enjoy your
do,
family
yeah, you're
and
going to do what you're supposed to do.
yeah, absolutely.
So that's always been my intention, is to empower people towards optimal wellness and regenerative. You
Right,
go.
regenerative
That's your word.
agriculture, yep.
Regenerative agriculture. Sorry, I can't say that word. I don't care. I can say lots of others. But
Absolutely.
it's such a beautiful notion, and I hope that we taught people about the fact that they're part of the earth.
Yeah.
They're not just wandering upon it. And I hope that they really go to your heirloom seed swap. If not personally, go online and donate some of your life force. You know, you trade your life for dollars. These people could use your life force, and they could use it to teach other people about how to make theirs more ideal so that you can live in a better world. Because we really are all connected.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that all of the people I know all the people you know,
Yeah.
so that we could have this
Yeah.
conversation. Because it was really awesome and inspiring. I personally am done cocooning, and I'm ready to plant so many seeds.
Yeah, it's bloom time.
It's super bloom time. So I hope to see like everybody, the whole city, and everyone you know, and your cats too, at the
Yeah.
seed swap. Like, what are some seeds you're hoping to get?
Oh man, you know, everyone talks about tomatoes, right? Bring something special. I'm bringing. Do you know about Sancho Buttons? Sancho Buttons,
Bye guys, catch you on Monday.
yeah. So the Sancho Button, they're
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.